It is time for the single coolest sports show in the country, The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics.
You've got Matt Bonner, who my notes tell me is a sandwich blogger named Red Mamba. I mean, how can you not like a guy like that?
And the Red Rocket knocks down the triple.
Red Rocket, I'm telling you, Red Mamba might not miss a shot.
Just like in politics, in the instructional video business, you need credibility.
You want credibility? I'll give you credibility. Hey, Tim, what's my nickname?
The Red Rocket.
No.
The Sandwich Hunter.
No. Fry Gun.
The Medium Fundamental.
And welcome to The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I'm Chris Ryan here in the great state of New Hampshire. Matt joins us from San Antonio, Texas. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Awesome. Patriots, a phenomenal performance against the Los Angeles Chargers. One of those things, like, I want to say San Diego every single time because it's so ingrained in you, so you just kind of have to catch yourself, and that's what I did there, sort of. You heard the S kind of creep out there. But
it does sound weird.
It sounds weird. It doesn't feel right. It's the San Diego Chargers, but it's not. It's the Los Angeles Chargers, and they got humbled, embarrassed by the Patriots, and they're a really good team. That was a team that was really good, and the Patriots made them look bad. The final score, not indicative of how dominant the Patriots were. They won 41-28, but the Patriots went up, 38-7 in the early portion of the third quarter, up 35-7 at the half. What were your big takeaways from the Patriots' victory, and what do you feel that means going into this week's contest against the Chiefs?
I feel cautiously optimistic. I mean, the Patriots played by far their best game of the season. I'm happy some of those young guys that don't have as much playoff experience got their feet wet, got some touchdowns, got some confidence in the postseason, kind of understood how this is the real time, this is the real season, this is money time, this is when it counts. I think the Patriots culture and leadership, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady obviously did a great job getting them to embrace that concept that the regular seasons in the past, it doesn't matter now. Everyone goes back to 0-0. We got to win three games to get another ring. And everybody came out with that level of focus, I thought, offensively and defensively. I hate two things about next week's game. One, because they had that such a big win, I worry some of them, I don't want to say rest on their laurels or or think they've arrived, but it's just human nature to just relax a little bit after a win, especially a win like that. You might be feeling yourself a little bit. I'm not necessarily worried about the vets, but maybe some of those young guys. So again, that Patriots culture has to really get them to refocus and have that edge, that intensity like they had going into the game against the Chargers with next week at the Chiefs. And then the second part is they're on the road, and obviously the Patriots have been pretty inconsistent on the road. And that kind of worries me as well.
Yeah, 3-5 on the road this season. They finished the season at 9-0 at home, and yeah, I think that there is. Those are all really good points. The big takeaway that I had in that game was that the Patriots were the offense was back, and that they were able to dominate the game how they wished to do so. Now, granted, Kansas City is going to give them a different look from the defensive perspective than Los Angeles did, but the Chargers are a better defensive team than the Chiefs. And the thing in this particular game is that the crowd and the atmosphere is going to be completely different than they have seen this year. Arrowhead is arguably the most difficult place to play. It's going to be 15 degrees in the game. And the Patriots are going to need that running attack and that offensive line to play exactly the same way that they did in the game against the Chargers. So, to me, the way they were able to dominate against a quality defensive team, to me, was really significant because they're going to have to do the exact same thing in this game to keep the Chiefs' offense off the field, to start the game with a quality long drive, to take the crowd out of it as much as possible. Because more so than any other sport, the crowd is a huge factor in the NFL. In the NBA, obviously, the crowd is right on top of you, and it can be difficult because of that. But in football, you need to hear the signals, and you need to be able to hear the quarterback and hear the middle linebacker. And if you can't, that's when chaos ensues. That's when penalties take place. So I think that there are some things that are positive coming from this Chargers game, but I also kind of think that it's a completely different beast, as we've seen with the Patriots this year. They're a different team on the road as compared to at home.
I agree, and to your point, they did establish their running game, and if they can do that, that just opens things up so much for Tom Brady and Gronk and Edelman and all those guys, just because it keeps defense honest, I think, and doesn't let them just assume that Brady's going to be passing 85% of the time. So I think that's important. Get the running game off to a good start. Keep the defense honest. And also, you know, to your point about having a long drive, when you run the ball successfully, it definitely increases your time of possession. It makes drives longer, eats up the clock, and which can also help neutralize the opposing team's crowd.
And I thought it was a special game, too, for Tom Brady and for Rob Gronkowski. Seeing Brady respond in that type of atmosphere once again and really dominate in the game. And Gronkowski only one catch, but was dominant in the rushing attack. He was one of the big reasons that the Patriots were able to have the success that they were with Sony Michel. And I kind of needed to see Brady have that type of a game to be confident in what they're going to be able to do, you know, moving forward. And the Patriots coaching staff, they pushed forth a really good game plan, and the Chargers, before they could really react and make changes to their strategy and to really adapt to what the Patriots were doing, they were down 28-7 before they really blinked. And I just thought really good all around for the Patriots, not surprising because of who these folks are, but it's just amazing. I mean, this is 19 years Brady and Belichick have been doing this, and they are back in the AFC Championship game, an eighth consecutive AFC Championship game. And you know, we talk about the great teams of all time, and the Celtics of the 50s and 60s, the Yankees of the 40s and 50s, those are kind of the teams. But obviously, sports were very different back then as well. I don't think you're ever going to see a team come close to winning 11 out of 13 championships like Bill Russell did, just because of the competitive equity that has been created in sports. Even in a game like basketball, where if you get the most dominant players, it's very difficult to beat them. As we've seen with the Warriors this year, it doesn't always work out. But what the Patriots have done here is as close to, I think, you will ever see to what, and it's even a longer time span than what Russell was able to do with Red Auerbach.
Yeah, it's very impressive for the sport of football. Working on the Spurs broadcast, we break down a lot of the Spurs' consistent long-term success, and it was like a million records in the last 20 years out of the four major sports. Winning percentage, all that kind of stuff, that the Spurs are the best. But you can have a much longer career in virtually every other sport besides football. Like, football's turnover rate for professional athletes who play in the league is far lower than hockey, far lower than basketball, far lower than baseball. So it makes the longevity of their success, that, to me, just by that one statistic, that much more impressive.
Right, and in basketball, I mean, you can do it with a big three. You can have, Tony returns tonight to San Antonio. That's going to be a lot of fun. If you're listening to the show here on Monday, it's on at 8:30 p.m. on NBA TV. Tony Parker comes back and Manu. And granted, those guys weren't even there for the entire time before that. You know, Sean Elliott and Mario Ely and Avery Johnson and the 99 team. And the consistency was Pop and Tim Duncan. But if you have those three guys, you can do really well in basketball. In football, it takes so much more than that. You have, obviously, 22 guys that play consistently. Then your special teams guys. Then your guys that come in, like your Kevin Fox or your James Whites, your receiver depth, your nickel coverage, your dime coverage guys. And, you're looking at having needing, really, 15 guys that are substantive guys who are going to have impacts on a game-in, game-out basis. And to find those guys on a consistent basis for the span of 19 years is amazing.
Yeah, because you look at the collective bargaining agreement for football, it's a hard cap. Guys mostly get short-term, unguaranteed contracts. They get injured a lot. So anytime you go and win a Super Bowl and guys have breakout years, they're looking to get paid, and you can't keep them.
And other teams want to poach your roster.
Exactly. So, I mean, you look at the Patriots and the turnover and the amount of different guys they've had to plug and play into all these different positions but still make it work and still be successful with Belichick and Brady kind of being the mainstays. It's amazing.
We'll hear from Rob Gronkowski, Devin McCourty, and also Trey Flowers in just a little bit. And Trey Flowers is one of those guys in this offseason that is likely to get paid, whether it's with the Patriots or someone else. So the Patriots roster is going to be poached once again this year. So going into these contests, the championship games, AFC, NFC, NFC at 3 p.m., AFC at 6:30 p.m., do you like the Patriots going into Kansas City? Or, as you mentioned before, you think the Chiefs will win, but you're somewhat cautiously optimistic about the Pats?
I'm still pulling for the Pats. I think they're going to pull it off. I think it's going to, but like, you know, all the concerns we talked about in the beginning of the show, I'm not super confident about it. But, you know, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, so in my mind, they're going to win.
Rams and the Saints. Who do you like in that one?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I thought the Saints looked kind of shaky against Philadelphia, so I'm going to go with the Rams.
Rams will be on the road, but the Saints fell behind 14-0. Then they came back. They gave the Eagles a chance, and you know Nick Foles is going to find a new home next year, and I think he's going to be handsomely rewarded. You wonder, you know, what the Eagles are thinking in that spot where they continue to go back to Wentz, but it seems like Foles is always the guy for them, and he wasn't able to pull it off, obviously, in that game, but Nick Foles.
That wasn't his fault, though.
Right, it wasn't his fault.
They had it. They were about to repeat what they did the week before. Just a fluke play went through Jeffrey's hands right to the Saints. Right. Otherwise, I felt like, all right, they're about to score and win this game. It's crazy.
Right. There was no question that they were going to drive down the field and win that game after the Saints' field goal kicker missed it. It's a 6-point game. Foles has the ball. He has time. I think they had one timeout remaining, and they were going to go down the field. And then the pass was a good pass right there in the hands at a spot where only the receiver could catch it. And somehow it managed to get through his hands and was intercepted, and that was that. So, yeah, I think I'm going Saints, and I'm going Chiefs. I think that the Patriots' run's going to conclude. This, to me, is one of the more difficult playoff matchups they have had going on the road for this game. And, of course, Patriots had opportunities for this game to be in Foxborough. They had the tiebreaker with the Chiefs, and if they had, you know, taken care of business in just one of those other games during the regular season on the road, whether it was in Miami or in Pittsburgh, this game would be in Foxborough. Matt, as always, good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Not to extend the show a little longer, but that Miami game, man, no question. They had that game won, and talk about the flukiest, luckiest plays you've ever seen in your life. They could have had home field.
All right, so that is Matt Bonner. This is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. We'll go down to Foxborough, talk to the Patriots in the next segment of the show, then we'll do some Bruins and Pats in the final segment of the program. Welcome back. This is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan here in the great state of New Hampshire. This segment of the show brought to you by Douglas Leonard and Garvey. If you've been injured, the most important decision you're going to make is who your lawyer is going to be. I encourage you to check out Douglas Leonard and Garvey at nhlawoffice.com. We talked about the Patriots' victory over the Chargers in the previous segment with Matt. Now we'll hear from the players. The Patriots won 41-28. They went up big and did not look back in this contest. They're up 35-7 at the half, went up 38-7 to start the third quarter. For the Chargers, scored some late garbage time touchdowns. Now the Patriots head to Kansas City as they will play in their eighth consecutive AFC Championship game, the Patriots, that is, against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Temperatures expected to be cold. Patriots, of course, used to the cold after winning the cold over the Chargers on Sunday. And, you know, this Patriots team is used to this. They know what it takes to win in the postseason. The question was, are they going to be able to turn on the switch and become a different team they were really throughout the course of the regular season? The answer at home was an affirmative yes against the San Diego Chargers. Rob Gronkowski may not have had a big game in terms of the passing attack, but he was huge in terms of run blocking. Here's my conversation with Gronk.
Just talk about what playoff football means to you and how you get in the mindset to play and maximize your ability.
Playoff football is definitely another excitement level. The fans are, you know, to another a level of excitement, but it's also another game. So you got to prepare how you've been preparing all year, like how we've been during the 20 games, including preseason. You got to be mentally and physically ready, and you got to bring it all.
Is there a danger to wanting to do, you know, too much and wanting to maximize your impact, or is that just a part of who you are? When you get those opportunities, you want to make a play, you want to, you know, do something a little bit extra after the catch.
Yeah, I mean, when you get the opportunity, you know, you got to try and make a play. No matter what side of the ball you're on, I mean, when it comes to the playoffs and you get that opportunity, in order to move on, you got to make more plays than another team. So every play is huge in these games, and I just got to bring it all.
Do you feel the best you felt this year at this point in terms of effectiveness, rest that you've had?
I'm feeling good. I mean, we just had a bye week, so just got to give it whatever the coach is asking me to do. Just got to go out there and do it to the best of my ability.
Final thing, in regards to legacy, do you start to think about your legacy in the game, but where you rank in terms of tight ends, the impact that you've had as your career has moved along, or is there still just the focus on what's next?
Yeah, I mean, just the focus on what's next. I mean, we got the playoff game Sunday at 1, so that's where all my focus is, and that's where all my teammates' focus is. So just going along that lead and just preparing the best we can.
Sweet. Good to see you. Thanks.
Continue on the offensive side of the football. Philip Dorsett, wide receiver for the Pats, had a big contest as well, catching 4 passes of 41 yards, including a touchdown.
In terms of cold weather, how do you prepare for that as a receiver? Is there anything, you know, to it? Are you guys able to, you know, play in conditions regardless of what they are?
The way we train is we can play in any condition. We're always outside, and it really doesn't bother us because we're used to it the way we practice.
What has the effect been of Julian Edelman this year once he's come back? And has this year been more impressive to you than perhaps last year? What have you seen from him?
He's just infectious on the whole locker room, especially for me in the receiver room. I mean, he did a lot for me when it comes to just going out there and just having that fire and just having that edge and playing hard every down. And I'm glad I got a chance to play with him.
Is that infectious, where if a guy has that type of personality where he's always going and, you know, he could be injured, things could not be perfect, but he's, like, always here and always engaged, does that rub off on everybody else?
Yeah, it does. If it doesn't, you don't really love football because the way he is, the way he goes about his day, the way he practices and stuff like that, you can see it, and it inspires you to go out there and just play as hard as you can.
This team's postseason success has been obviously phenomenal during the Belichick and Brady era. What do you think allows for, regardless of turnover, of roster, or changes, this team seems to be successful? Why do you think that is?
I would say coaching, and then the guys we got in the locker room. We got a lot of guys in here that love football, that work really hard, really, really hard throughout the season. It's a long season, you know, it's a grind. You know, we got a lot of guys that understand that and still work hard through it, push through it. And I think that helps us a lot when we get to the postseason. And we got a lot of smart guys in the locker room that can go in and take coaching and apply it to the field. And I think it helps us a lot.
What's the mindset like for a player in the playoffs when, you know, you've dreamed your whole life about having an impact in these types of moments? How do you go about preparing yourself to maximize the moment?
You gotta go about your day the same. You gotta keep the same routine. You gotta keep going. You gotta obviously the intensity and the sense of urgency ramps up a little bit because it's the playoffs. But you can't really let it. You can't make the game too big itself. You gotta go out there. You gotta stay with your routine. You just gotta do what you do every day, and then some.
Philip Dorsett, right there. Patriots offensive line was just phenomenal. Of course, the Chargers, a team that uses speed, 7 defensive backs, and looking to find holes within the offensive line, but the offensive line having none of it. And David Andrews anchors things as the Patriots center.
When you look at this franchise's success, it's obviously impressive. In your view, what has led to the success with the changeovers and roster and whatever the situation is? It seems like this is your time of year.
I think it just, you know, it's great leadership in the organization from, you know, it obviously starts with Bill, Coach Belichick, and things he's done. And And then I look at guys like when I came in, the Nate Solders, Marcus Cannon, the Sebastian Vollmers, Ryan Wendell, and saw them, and now that's gotten passed down, to some of our younger generations, me, Shaq, Joe Tooney. So, it's just, I think it's just the culture, the expectations, and it's just great to be a part of this franchise and have those guys that I looked up coming into, and now it's kind of feeding down, to us.
It isn't new, obviously, that you're a leader here on this offensive line, but it seems like this year the offensive line has been really impressive, particularly down the second half of the year. How much pride do you take in that, and what have you seen from this group collectively?
I think we just take a lot of pride in our job, I love working with this group. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by, those three guys inside for 3 years now, and, they're awesome. And then, had Marcus out there and, for all my 4 years too. And, Trent's come in and done a great job. But just everyone goes down the line, the Ted Karras, James Ferentz, the Adrian Waddle, everyone works hard. Everyone comes to practice each day, with that mindset of getting better. And when you got a good group like that, it's easy to go to work every day.
Do you feel like the run blocking this year has been better? And Devlin and also Dwayne Allen have been really impressive in terms of allowing for opportunities for Sony or Rex.
Yeah, I think we just try to do a good job. I think the big thing is everyone getting a hat on a hat, with the good communication, things like that. And it just comes down to finishing your blocks. And, I think we've done a good job of that. It's going to be a big challenge here this week. They had a great plan last year when we played. They played us in the run game, held us to, I think, 3.1 yards a carry, so they had a great job, did a great job, so it's going to be a big challenge.
The offensive line is the least understood and most important part of football. In your view, what is the aspect of it that is the least understood in terms of what you guys do on a day-in, day-out basis?
Man, I don't know. It's a lot of communication, it's not just out there bruising. There's a lot of preparation and communication that goes into it.
We shift to the defensive side of the ball, where Devin McCourty is having as much fun as he has ever had playing for the Patriots. He led the team with 7 tackles yesterday, defensed 2 passes as well, and he has had a great time playing alongside his brother Jason.
Has this year been the most fun that you've had playing football, given that you've had the opportunity to play with Jason and having him here in this group, which is already kind of a family to you?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Twin brother, we're as close as it gets. Having him here, seeing his success, us playing well together out there on the field, has been a ton of fun. I can't really imagine a better season than it's been this year.
You have had the ability, as a lot of the guys in this room, to maximize the moment in the postseason. How do you set yourself up to make sure that you are able to make the play when it needs to be made in postseason games?
I think just preparing more than you've done all regular season. And I'm a guy that watches a lot of film. Defense leans on me for communication. And when we get in the post, I'm like, man, I got to make sure I get even more in. Because the honest truth is, we have one game guaranteed, and that's Sunday. After that, there's no more guarantee. So I feel like I'll never turn away from a postseason game and say, man, I blew it, wasting all that time watching film and preparing. That'll never happen. So I try to have that mentality when preparing for the week.
So that's really what separates this group, is kind of the preparation breeds confidence aspect of things. Or if you're prepared, you're putting yourself in a position to have success.
Definitely, and I think we do that each day in practice. And when something doesn't go right in practice, we're in here talking about it. Man, if we get this in the game, I'm happy it came up now, let's fix. So it, to me, it's just that nonstop attitude of trying to make sure it gets right all throughout the week, and then even once we get in the game, of making adjustments.
Trey Flowers, a big game for the Pats as well. He hit Phillip Rivers twice. He sacked him once, and also had a big contest just in terms of applying pressure on a consistent basis. Here is Trey Flowers.
What's a player's mindset have to be to have success in the postseason? Because you can get too amped in the moment. You could try to make too much of each play. Do you want to be that amped for each play, or do you want to be calm? How do you set yourself?
You want to – well, it depends on the different type of players. For me, I take my intensity and, as far as, amping myself up, kind of taking myself to a angry mental state where I can be, aggressive as possible. But, some guys, they're more comfortable when they play calm and play relaxed. So, it just depends on the player. Some guys really, take themselves to that angry, aggressive state just to be able to mm-hmm. go out there and be successful. But some guys can do it while being relaxed and chill and calm. So.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your particular mm-hmm. mindset, because yeah. you're one of the more calm, chill dudes you'll find.
Yeah.
But once you get on the field, you are extremely aggressive. Yeah. You make plays happen. You get to the quarterback, and you have that quote-unquote killer mm-hmm. instinct. Yeah. So how do you get yourself in that place?
Well, it's just kind of, I think about a lot of things. Think about, people doubting me. Think about, being fourth round. Think about, a lot of things people say about me as far as negative. And, just kind of take myself to a mental state where, got to prove them wrong, or now I'm angry at, the opponent. And, now I visualize them saying it, and, now I'm mad at them. And, mm-hmm. It's just kind of I take myself to a kind of a mental state where, I could be as aggressive as possible and go out there and make plays. So.
It seems like you're at the point of your career where you cannot be, stopped in single coverage. Mm-hmm. How did you get to that point? And do you see it that way mm-hmm. where you can make mm-hmm. an impact on each play? You may not be the guy that gets the sack, mm-hmm. but you're going to create that disruption. Yeah. That seems to be the mm-hmm. biggest and best part of your game, which doesn't mm-hmm. show up in stats.
Yeah. I'm a guy that – anytime I'm out there, I want to be impactful on the play. So, I believe, I'm a firm believer, if I'm one-on-one, then I got to get there. And if, it's in two guys, and I got to be able to be in the vicinity as far as where, I can still be productive. So, and no matter, if they, double team me, single block me, whatever, I want to be impactful on the play. So, it's just one of those deals that, like I said, my mindset, put that mindset in my head, and, we want to go out there and be successful. So.
Finally, it seems like you and Steph Gilmore are kind of occupying the same space mm-hmm. of being these star-type players that don't necessarily build themselves up and scream for attention and have big impacts, but folks don't talk about them a lot. Can you talk about what Gilmore's impact has been on this team? Because a lot of times teams will throw away from him. He won't have the interceptions because of how good he is.
Yeah, definitely a skillful guy just to have in that back end. Just his technique and, his skill level is, one of the things that we rely on each week in and week out, just understanding that, we put him on the opponent's best receiver, and, it's just about, shut him down or, have him minimum production. So, to have a guy like that just where you can, take out a guy's, number one receiver, or take out, one side of the field, to understand that, you got a guy like him back there covering, back there, can make a play. And, that's just about anybody in the back end. Just, any guy can make a play any given Sunday. So just to be able to, have guys like that and have that confidence is, allow the defensive line just to be able to know that the quarterback may hold it a little bit longer and, you can get a productive rush. So.
That is Trey Flowers right there. Let's hear from the Patriots all-pro cornerback Stephon Gilmore, who got beat on the opening play of the game, but ended up icing things with an interception late. He's one of the best in the business.
What's the appropriate mindset for a player in a playoff game? You obviously want to be calm, but you have to be in that mindset of having the instinct to go out there and play a game of football. So how do you set yourself, mentally for a must-win game?
Just prepare as much as you can, practice hard as you can, and watch a lot of film and, get better. So that's what it's about, just preparing hard and giving it all you got for your teammates.
So the preparation creates confidence, but how do you want to, set yourself mentally for the game? Do you just think about the game itself? How do you go about making sure that, you are not doing too much or too little in that environment?
I don't think you can ever do too much. Just prepare hard and, keep watching film and take care of your body and, trust each other on defense, in my perspective, and, make plays for your teammates.
How important has Trey Flowers been to this team this year?
Very important. Those guys do a great job up there, and they help us out on the back end.
Do you see you and him kind of being in the same boat as guys who are, plus NFL players at their positions, but you don't build yourselves up? You're not, hitting your chest, talking about how great you are, and as a result of that, maybe you guys don't get the attention you deserve around the league, that you're similar in that effect?
I don't know. He's a great player. You got to prove yourself every weekend. That's what it's about. No matter what nobody else says, you have to prove yourself every week.
That is Stephon Gilmore. This is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan. When we return, we'll do some Celtics and Bruins. That segment of the show brought to you by Doug Leonard and Garvey. And again, this is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. Welcome back. This is The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This segment of the program presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Two great locations, one the Concord Hospital campus, the other 125 North Main Street. Prescription Center also delivers prescriptions to you free of charge. To the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Appreciate joining us for the show. In this segment, we'll do some Celtics and Bruins. Celtics had a really strong homestand capped by a blowout victory in which they scored 135 points against the Indiana Pacers, who were third in the Eastern Conference with a record of 28-14, which is ahead of the Celtics. Celtics then went on the road and lost in Miami at the back end of a back-to-back, and then went to Orlando and lost to the Magic in a heartbreaker. Celtics, at the halfway point of the year, just a little over it, having played 42 games, are 25-17, which means they're on pace to win just 50 games this year, 50-32 for a team that some thought would compete for the all-time record in terms of wins. That hasn't happened for the Celtics this year, and it's been a season of ups and downs. They're 10-12 on the road, 15-5 at home. They've established that home identity that we saw in the game against the Pacers. I talked with Jason Tatum about his season so far after Celtics beat the Pacers last week.
What stood out to you most in this victory over the Pacers?
What you said? What?
What stood out to you most about the way you guys played tonight and allowed for your success?
I think we were really connected from beginning to end. A lot of guys play well in offensive end. I'm not sure our assist number, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty high. We just played well the whole game.
Scoring 135 points against a team like that that prides itself on defense, is that a bit of a statement for you guys about where you are right now?
Well, yeah, I think we're on the right path. We're improving each and every day, and it is showing, and it's a good feeling.
Has this stretch here at home been the most determined, consistent, and focused you guys have played throughout the year, and do you see this as kind of where you guys want to be?
Yeah, I think it's a good sign. We've been playing really, really well lately. Just hope we can keep it going.
You had a stretch where you weren't scoring the way that you're used to. How did you get back to the form that you showed here tonight?
Just getting back in the gym. Just trying to regroup and refocus. Just get back to my old self.
How much of that is driving to the basket and using that first step to get to the rim?
It has a lot to do with that, just being aggressive from the rip. Getting the flow into the game.
In regards to the Pacers, Pacers are a good home team. They're a good road team. They're 3.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors for the best record in basketball, and they currently have the fifth best record in all of basketball. They're 2 games behind Milwaukee Bucks. Corey Joseph is an old teammate of Matt's from the San Antonio Spurs. Won a championship with Matt 5 years ago, believe it or not, in 2014. He is one of the glue guys for the Indiana Pacers.
Corey, this is one of the best unappreciated teams in the NBA. Your record is phenomenal. You're one of the best teams in the league, but you don't get to the conversation with the other teams in the league. Is that something that serves it as motivation for this group?
Yeah, I mean, we feel maybe a little underappreciated, but we try not to look too much into that because we, at the end of the day, we got bigger goals than just to be unappreciated. So hopefully by the end of the season, hopefully by the playoffs, if we achieve our goals, then they can talk about us a little bit more then.
What makes this team work in your view? Why is this team as good as you guys are?
We just play hard. I think, you know, we're unselfish. You know, we had a lot of players that maybe it wasn't handed to them from early on in the career. So we have a lot of, like, dogs and a lot of guys that go out there and try to get it by any means.
This team seems a lot to me like the Celtics team from, you know, a couple years ago where you had guys that just came together and played hard and beat guys down for 48 minutes and, you know, a superstar that was underappreciated. Does it feel like, you know, that the makeup of this team creates, you know, your identity and that the guys that have been looked past and so forth and looked down upon, and that just kind of feeds this group to prove people wrong?
Yeah, I think individually, like I said, guys never had it handed to them, and they, you know, they had to be that dog and had to do the dirty work on other teams that they may have been on. So I think Now, you know, given the opportunity to do a little more, per se, in terms of like Vic and guys like that, and myself and DC and everybody, just unselfish guys that just, you know, like you said, just play hard and try to just win games.
Each great team wants to have, you know, that guy that has a championship pedigree that understands what it's like to go through the process and get there, and you're obviously the guy here that has done that. How do you kind of impart that wisdom, if you will, on the other guys, and at what point do you start to show the younger guys the way?
I think that it's a little bit of both. It's by speaking it out when needed, and also by your actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough process. You know, when I was with Spurs, and I was, you know, thankfully enough to, to get a ring, I was able to see and be a part of something that was special in terms of how professional those guys were, like Timmy, Tony, Manu, the mindset you have to have. Because at the end of the day, it's a long season. You can never get too high, too low. And it's really like that next game mentality. And you really got to find ways to challenge yourself within, you know, the team, and challenge the team too. So just, you know, whenever it's needed, like yesterday for instance, you know, we were up by like big in Cleveland. They made a run, you know, the games, you know, they started to come back. We were up like 20, they pushed it to 9. You know, we just got to stay composed, and I think that's where I could help, you know, a lot of time with my actions and with my work.
That Spurs team was all about sacrifice and obviously depth as well. And, you know, the Celtics are trying to get to that point and have talked a lot about sacrifice, but it's difficult to actually do the sacrifice and say, you know, I could be a guy that could score 20 points in this league, but I'm going to take a step back and do what's best for the team. So how do you send that message and apply that message to yourself? Because each guy feels that he could do a little bit more, but how do you fit into the team mold and you know, deal with the humbling aspects of the game?
Yeah. Well, for the Celtics, I hope they never get that aspect. I hope they all score 20, and I hope, you know, but for, I mean, you just, like you said, it's sacrifice. It's the greater good, you know, it's when the team does well, and it's genuine sacrifice, you know what I mean? It's being able to see ahead when the team does well, everybody, you know, is going to get rewarded for that. And it's not to overlook the little things that maybe the outside doesn't see, but you know, people do. You know what I mean? And everybody is being a star in your role. You know what I mean? Even though you may be able to do, you know, something that is outside of your role, and you maybe down the line, eventually you'll get the opportunity to do so. But you just got to be a star in your role. Every championship, you know what I mean? Like, there's always going to be, you know, players out there that, you know, they could do more. But, I mean, if when you got guys already, the setup of the team is, when it's like that, it's like that. So you just got to, obviously, and there's not, I'm not saying you can't score 20 points or whatever, but you got to be able to, you know, be a star in your role.
Corey Joseph right there. We switched to hockey now. Boston Bruins, 45 games into the year, 26-15-4. Despite significant injuries, they have overachieved, particularly given their circumstances. While the Celtics, as we referenced, have underachieved. They have 56 points as they enter play this evening against the Montreal Canadiens in Boston. The Celtics, of course, taking on the Nets in Brooklyn as we do the show here on Monday. And the Bruins have impressed this year. They had in their game of the week last week a loss, though, to the Washington Capitals at home. The Stanley Cup champs, just for whatever reason, seem to just beat up on the Boston Bruins, whether it's denying them a victory in which they're outplayed, which was the case. The Bruins were the better team on Thursday night, but they lost 4-2. Braden Holtby was phenomenal for the Washington Capitals in that contest. Brad Marchand and Lars Eller almost squared off, but Marchand showing some discipline, although he has the most penalty minutes he's ever had in his career. He has stayed away from suspension so far this season. I talked with Marchand about that.
I mean, it's a 1-0 game. And to go on the power play in a situation like that, again, I don't feel a need to prove anything to that guy. So unfortunately we didn't score on it, but so it is.
Do you feel you've been more disciplined this year, and you've been, you know, walking away from those types of things, perhaps, other than previous years?
I mean, I would like to say that, but I think I'm have my highest penalty minute total so far to date. But a couple tens, and you know, that's just how it is, and I'm not really concerned about it one way or another. It's just part of the game.
Brad Marchand right there. Chris Wagner, really good story for the Bruins as he fit in on that fourth line, that energy line from Walpole, Massachusetts. And we talked about how the Capitals game was really not a huge setback for the Bruins because of how well they played. In fact, they'd go to Toronto on Saturday night and beat the Maple Leafs.
Is this one of those games where you feel like you deserve a little bit better fate in terms of the chances you're able to create in dominating the physical aspects of the game?
Yeah. You don't want to, because some nights you win and maybe you're not supposed to, and you know, other nights you don't when you are, but... overall, we had a pretty solid team effort, and you can't really complain about that.
Yeah. Have you liked the way the team has been playing, you know, overall pretty much over this last 3 or 4 weeks? It's not obviously not a step back. Do you see it just kind of being one of those bounces type games?
Yeah, I think so. I think we all know it, too. That's a really good team. I think we measured up to them for the most part. We don't want to lose the momentum we've had over the past 2 weeks. We played some solid games over the past 2 weeks. So you want to, especially with another rival coming in Toronto. So, yeah, you want to stay sharp and upbeat and carry it to Saturday.
How do you describe the chemistry of your line? It's a group that's physical, obviously, but you guys have some skill, and you're able to set the tone, as which puts you out to start each game, and you guys got off a good start again tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The last couple games, the start, especially against the top line, when you know that's your job, I think you kind of get more jacked up for it because, when they get on the ice, you're going off the bench too. So, it's special. I think, like I've said before, we're all good buddies off the ice, so that helps. And we're all kind of similar players and predictable, but we all compete really hard, and that helps a lot too.
Chris Wagner right there. Also talked with Nicholas Backstrom, one of the big stars, the Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals, about how they've owned the Bruins and the challenges of trying to repeat.
What does it mean to win a game like that where they are able to carry the play a little bit? It's a physical playoff type game. Is that a benchmark type game as you guys look to, get back to playoff type hockey?
Yeah, I mean, I think every time you know these guys are going to get physical, and I think it gets emotional after that. Everyone's getting involved, and I mean, it's fun games to play. I mean, if you look at all the regular season games, I mean, these are the games you want to play, and these are the games you want to be involved in. So it's good. I mean, it's just half the season left. So,
knowing how physical they want to be, when Char is put into the bench by Ovechkin, what message does that send to you guys? And does Ovechkin set the tone for you guys still physically as Char does for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And, I mean, you know how Ovi's gonna be when it gets physical. I mean, he's a strong guy, so he's not gonna get anyone get him. So, it was a physical game, and a lot of people were involved in that. But that was a nice message. Yeah.
Darling, as defending champions, what have you noticed this year in terms of how teams approach you? Is there a difference that's tangible that you can feel there where you're getting the best each night when perhaps you didn't in the past?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get everyone's best every night. So, but that's the challenge we're happy to take. So looking forward to that every night.
Nicholas Backstrom right there. Hockey interviews on the program presented by the Concord Youth Hockey Association and the Concord Capitals. For more information, check out ConcordYouthHockey.org. This has been The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics. Pretty close to the best we could do for the show today. And we appreciate you joining us for it. I am Chris Ryan. You've been listening to The Life with Matt Bonner, presented by Concord Orthopedics.